Following is a Skutch Media production.
And I want to give back to people what my dad wasn't able to experience. And that's what I feel like I try to bring in to each visit that I have with anybody.
Welcome back to another episode of the Easewell Podcast. I'm Dr. Mayor Kara, and today we're sitting down with Dr. Sean Robinson. Now, I've known him for many years, and the stuff that he's revealing in this podcast, it blew my mind, gave me goosebumps. You guys are going to love this show. Stay tuned. Dr. Sean, how you doing today, man?
Doing well. Thanks for having me, Doc. I really appreciate it.
Let's dive into your journey of becoming a chiropractor and how you decided to become one.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I really love talking about this story. It's got some convoluted things that kind of went through for me to become a chiropractor. It was understanding a lot at a very young age. I actually lost my father to drugs and surgery. He was around my age, actually, when he had his first back injury. He herniated a disc on the construction site. And so he immediately signed up for workman's comp, and the doctor said they was going to take care of him. And from looking back at the medical records and kind of speaking with my family, my mom about everything, it seemed like he immediately was a candidate for back surgery. And the very first back surgery failed for him, turned into a second one, third one, fourth one, all the way up to like 8 back surgeries.
Eight.
Wow. Yep. And on top of that was prescribed countless pain pills, Loratab, hydrocodone. Oh. He was actually at one point at 100 milligrams of methadone a day.
Whoa.
Which is what they give to someone that is battling heroin addiction.
Yeah.
So it's a very, very strong narcotic. And they thought it was fit for him to subdue his pain. And with all the failed back surgeries, I never once saw in the chart, never once heard that he had ever tried any other thing other than drugs and surgery. It was never any like physical therapy. It was never any chiropractic. It was never anything but this like mainstream kind of medicine, and it failed him. And I was real young, 14 or 15 years old, and I got to see all that firsthand. I mean, I remember going back to, we would go to the theater and we would watch a movie, and we'd be 15 minutes in and he's passed out. And I'm like, well, what's going on, Dad? We just got to the movies. Like, right. Are you feeling okay? No, I'm fine. And 5 minutes later, back out again. And I never put the two and two together. I'm 14, 15. I don't know that that's the side effects of all these narcotics and drugs. And so flash forward, I get older and we're in the hospital. He is in an induced coma from gangrene developing on his colon. He had gotten so constipated from the medications that he was not able to properly rid his body of waste. And a really gnarly infection had developed and started eating him from the inside out. He never really thought anything of it because he didn't have a lot of pain, because he's taking all the pain pills. Well, eventually it called up to him, and he's in the hospital, and they're saying, all right, we got to do emergency surgery. Does emergency surgery. I'm getting into the hospital as they complete the surgery, and he throws a brain aneurysm. And that's when they're like, okay, we got to put him in this coma. We got to see if we can save him, do what we can. Well, after the brain aneurysm, I think they had said he had lost like 40% of his brain at that time. And so they had brought in my aunt to kind of call it, and that's what they did. They called it, and he spent 7 minutes with no life support, and we were actually watching the Auburn football versus LSU. He was a big Auburn Tigers fan, and believe it or not, Auburn scored the final touchdown, him taking his final breaths, and part of me always flashes back to that moment. I'm like, man, I'm so glad LSU didn't win that game. but yeah, so having that at a young age, being exposed to that, I thought, man, you know, there's all these other people 50, 60, 70 years old, and they're getting around just fine. They're not having to have these surgeries, drugs, and things like that. why is that? You know, is there something else out there? And so I started actually diving into looking at like physical therapy rehab. Mm-hmm. I had actually at that age, I'd never heard of a chiropractor. Never once. There might have been a Simpsons episode, you know, like they like poked at a chiropractor or something, but I didn't think anything of it. And so I really feel like I chose chiropractic and chiropractic chose me. Yeah. Because strangely enough, as all that progressed, I'd kind of, like I said, gotten interested in the physical therapy stuff, started shadowing a few PTs that were like around my area in the hometown, and I liked what they were doing. I saw people getting better and not having to go on these long-term drug therapies and get surgeries. And so I was like, all right, I like this. And so the original goal actually was to become a physical therapist. I was right. working at a shoe store. Well, really a clothing store, but I was selling shoes there. That was like my thing.
Okay.
And the chiropractor of the town's wife comes in and I sell her and her son a pair of shoes, just like I would anybody else. And we're done with the sale. And she's like, I really like you. I think there's something really cool about you. I really want you to come and work with me and my husband. He has a chiropractic office down the street. Awesome. And I just think you would be a great like representative there. And I'm like, oh, thank you. I'm so honored. Like,
awesome.
What's chiropractic?
Yeah.
Hey, wait, what is that? And she's like, oh, well, don't worry about that. My husband will explain that to you. Just come to this little lunch meeting, maybe 20, 30 minutes, and he'll talk to you and to see if it's even something that you're interested in.
That's awesome.
All right, doctor job kind of sounds better than a shoe store job. Right. Let's go check it out. And so I go check it out, and that's when he explains to me right then and there. Like, and it's crazy to me that it had never been explained to me before, but he explained to me the brain and body connection and how the brain turns into the spinal cord and how that fires off to every cell, every organ, every muscle, everything in order for it to work. And it was like a light bulb just went off in my head. And I was like, whoa, nobody's ever sat down and explained that to me. That's so cool. Tell me more.
Right.
And he's like, well, start working here. You'll get to learn it all, man. All right. What I got to lose, man? This dude seems cool. Seems like it's going to be a nice up and up experience. And so I start working there and start learning more about chiropractic. And I always laugh because I used to give Doc a hard time. I'd be like, Doc, you attract these the angriest, crankiest older patients. Like, what is up with all these just cranky people coming in? Like,
they're in pain, you know.
That's exactly it. He said, just give it a few weeks. He said, give it a few weeks, you're gonna see a different person.
Yeah.
And I said, all right, sure enough, a few weeks go by, nicest person, bringing baked goods,
isn't that crazy?
You know, to the office, like just thinking, singing the praises. I was like, I didn't see this at the PT office in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, they do great jobs, but I was like, that's amazing. They just took this 60-year-old person who barely made it in here, and now they just forgot their cane on the way out the door.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, like, to me, I was like, okay, there's something to this. Let me go figure it out. And so I had already been coming to Atlanta a good bit. I've always been a big fan of the Atlanta street skateboarding here. Big fans of all the guys here, all the OGs, legends, just always looked up to them. And then when even YouTube started popping off, I would always look at every single Atlanta YouTube video I could find, just because I grew up in Alabama. We didn't have the architecture like Atlanta does. So I was just always fascinated by it. And I thought, man, there's a chiropractic school in Marietta.
There you go.
I got all my homies already over here in Atlanta. It makes sense, man. I just felt like it was my calling. And I guess really to add on top of that, I'm a testament of chiropractic care myself. Going back to skateboarding, early on I had knocked myself out skateboarding. And I had really horrific migraines after that. And I'd never put the two and two together.
So you hit your head.
So I essentially, the quarter pipe was 9 foot tall. Wow. Some fun guy came, I guess, the night before and decided to try to back his Jeep up the quarter pipe. And so it put two big holes in it.
Oh, my
goodness. And so we were only able to skate like
a little bit
of it. And so I was right there on the edge of skating. I probably shouldn't have been. I probably should have just left it alone, you know. But you're 14, right? Whatever.
Yeah, risk-taking.
What's going to happen?
You're a risk-taker, you know? Of course.
So I go full speed trying to get to the top of this 9-foot quarter pipe, and my back truck clips the entry of the quarter, and I go sideways Superman into the ramp, hit the side of my head, and I'm out. 10, 15 seconds, you know, my friends, I just wake up and they're like shaking me. They're like, yo, you're good. And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. And so nothing really happened like immediately. Like I didn't go to the hospital immediately. Like
you brush it off.
I just brush it off.
Like
right.
We all usually.
I don't even think I told my parents, you know, like I think my dad came and picked us up a little bit later. And like, I think we were just kind of like, you know, just don't say anything. Like, it's okay. Like I'm good. And then a few months later, that was when those migraines started kicking in. And I was like, what's going on? Like, I would literally get to the point of I would get tunnel vision. I would get these floater spots. And then it would start to creep into this, like, slow headache and then just start rippling through. And it felt like somebody had a chisel just beating on my head. And I would have to go into, like, a dark, quiet room. I remember what happened, like, at school during the middle of a test or something. And I would have to get excused. Like, I'm so sorry.
Really?
Like, I'm having this, like, really horrible, like, migraine headache issue. Like, I can't complete this test. I need to go to, like, check out, go to a dark room. And I would go to this dark, quiet room. And eventually I would get nausea enough to where I had to puke. And so I would go and vomit. And I would come back, lay down. And I had a little bit of relief after the vomit. But what would really go away was when I would go to sleep for like 2 or 3 hours and I would wake up and would be like, nothing ever happened. It was no residual headache. There was no residual floaters. It was literally like nothing ever happened. And I'm sitting there thinking like, I can't just pause during the middle of my day for the rest of my life and just
every time
rest and let them go away. So I'm like, all right, I got to tell somebody about it. So I told my parents about it. And they said, all right, well, we need to go to the doctor. Like, if you hit your head that hard, you might have, like, something going on up there. We need to do some scans. And I was like, all right, well, let's go do some scans. And they did all these tests, did all these scans. I said, no, ma'am, you know, son's completely healthy, completely fine. We don't see anything wrong in the imaging. You know, he's just going to have to, like, learn to live with it.
Oh. It was like you went to a medical doctor?
Yeah, this is a medical doctor.
Do you remember what kind of scans you took like MRI?
They did MRI, they did CT, they did X-ray. I mean, they did it
everything.
All. They did it all. They did it all because nothing was showing anything. So
really?
They kept kind of going. They're like, well, maybe this. And it just kept showing nothing. And they're just like, finally, like, here's some pills. Here's some like pre-migraine pills. Here's some post-migraine pills. The only thing I ever felt like they did was they sped up the process. Like, I wouldn't be debilitated for like a total of 6 hours. Like, I would be debilitated for like 3 or 4 hours.
Cut the symptoms down for you to manage your daily.
A little, yeah. And so, flashback now, working at the chiropractor, I never even tell this guy that I have migraines because you got to get it. I'm just small kid in Alabama, and I'm like, man, this is a big deal job. I don't want to let them know that I have a health issue. This is a chiropractic clinic.
Totally.
They're promoting health. What does it look like having this guy with migraines in here promoting health? So in my head, I was like, just don't say anything.
Mm.
Started getting adjusted because it was really cool when you work at a chiropractor's office. They typically will just lay you down on the table and adjust you because that's just what everybody loves to do as a chiropractor is adjust as many people as possible, and they want to make sure their staff is
adjusted
and working optimally as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very fortunate to just be told, hey, lay down on the table. Let's get you adjusted. Like, I don't even think I ever, like, you know, asked. I was like, all right, cool. Let's do it. And I'd say probably about a month went by of that happening. And I started noticing that I wasn't getting as many headaches. I wasn't getting as many migraines.
That's amazing.
Another month goes by, they're completely gone. I was like,
wow.
What? Like,
wow.
This is something I was told I was going to have to learn to live with for the rest of my life. And now I'm starting to see it go away. And dude, it just gave me the biggest hope. I was like, man, this is so cool. I want to go back and I want to give back what this has done for me to other people. And I want to give back to people what my dad wasn't able to experience. And that's what I feel like I try to bring in to each visit that I have with anybody is in my head is if I can prevent that one person from going down that road of the multiple surgeries, the drugs that aren't working, if I can just give them a little hope, a little insight on what to actually do to help to heal the body, that makes my day. And so I felt like I had that kind of passion at the chiropractic office before I was even a chiropractor. So I thought, man, I got all this information, I got all this knowledge, I got all this passion for it, got to do it. And so wound up at Life University, and four grueling years later.
That's not a lie. Grueling years. It's nonstop education.
Yep. Graduated. And then I wanted to learn even more. So I actually got certified in adjusting extremities. So I'm actually certified in adjusting from the jaw all the way to the big toe. And I saw that being really important through my journey as a skateboarder. I actually was really fortunate. I got to meet a chiropractor along the road of going to school. A lot of the classmates had said, oh, you got to go to this lady, she does extremities, you're gonna love her, you got ankle foot issues from skating, go to her.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to here. So Dr. Tracy Olson,
mm-hmm.
favorite lady ever.
Yeah. She was our professor.
Yes, exactly. She was one of our professors.
Right.
She had started adjusting my ankle and adjusting my foot. I said, whoa, I never had this done. I worked at a chiropractor office for 4 years.
They were just doing the back.
Just doing the back. I was like, I never had my foot touched. Like, this plantar fascia issue, this ankle injury that never got better, this is better. I was like, all right, where'd you go? Where'd you learn this? Yeah. And so I literally signed up for every single of the CCEP seminars and got all those out of the ways to get certified in that same thing, just because I just thought, this is badass, man. You gotta, if you're gonna learn how to adjust the spine, you gotta learn how to adjust the supporting things of the spine as well. And we did get a good bit of that in school, but I felt like it was not enough. And that's where I wanted to get certified in it. I have a lot of pride in taking care of skateboarders like myself. I feel like that's like the kind of underdogs of the community. You know, they're pretty humble people, and they really don't ask for much. You know, they just kind of get by and live their life. And whenever they do have an issue come up, I do like to be that person that has that same experience. Like, oh, I've been through that. I know exactly what you're going through. Instead of you looking at alcohol and weed and drugs and all this other coping things, let's get you feeling better. Let's get you back on the board as soon as possible so that you don't just turn into that blob of doing nothing. And that's what I was seeing in the skate world, is people would get injured and they would never come back. And it would be like my favorite skateboarder. You know, I'm like, no, you got to get back on the board. I'm trying to see this. Yeah. And so that's where a lot of that passion stemmed from. But now I've been taking care of skaters now, I guess, going on 4 years. And what that really did was it opened me up to how many other people in so many other different categories that I could help.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing to me, the people that aren't constantly throwing themselves down 10 stairs, what you can do for them and the biggest kind of changes you make. Because I'm used to working with these guys that are throwing themselves down things daily for fun.
Yeah, and the I hardest get some, of the population.
Literally. And so I'm getting some people coming in that sit at a desk all day, and I'm like,
this is easy.
All right, cool, you know.
It could change your life.
Chiropractors not only handle the biomechanical side of things, we're also up here working neurologically as well. And I think that's why whenever I was relating back to CMPT and seeing chiro, I would see that the PT would work, it just maybe took a little longer, whereas the chiro was able to get in biomechanically and neurologically. And I think that's what helped ramp up things to be able to kind of be a little bit faster progression. And to me, we're in a fast-paced world. I don't know about you, but I don't have.
That was fast-paced, man.
I don't have 8 weeks to lay out and let something just get better, right? Mm-hmm. And so, to me, I think that's what's so special about chiropractic is, a lot of numbers of issues can be treated by a chiropractor.
Yeah.
To me, that is amazing. Number one, number two, we're not only looking at it in that biomechanical sense; we're looking at it in a neurological sense. Because to me, the brain is the supercomputer, and it controls everything. And so for it to be ignored in treating someone, to me, is a dishonor to that person. And so that's what I really think is special about what me and you do, man, is we're able to get in there and reset that supercomputer.
It's amazing what it does. I mean, your brain and your spinal cord are your... They control every, you said it earlier, every cell in your body, which means every part of your body, from your visceral system to your muscular system to your endocrine system, everything. The nervous system controls it. So,
yeah, no, it, and to me, that's what's beautiful about it is no other profession has really stepped into that world and saw, okay, this is how we can help the body from the inside. And I think that's what keeps me fired up and really passionate about this is I just get to see people just getting their life back, man. And I think that's so cool. And to me, it's a really rewarding thing. And I'm really glad I chose this profession to be able to kind of do this for the rest of my life, man. I couldn't imagine any other world.
I mean, you could be on an island, a deserted island with, you know, a couple people, right? And still be able to provide value to them with these hands.
That's my thing. That's what I've always loved about chiropractic is, like you said, you could be dropped off in literally the middle of nowhere, not even have electricity.
Yeah. And still be of value.
It's always thought about that, too, in case we ever have to get shot up to space.
Elon Musk?
They might have to pick up a few chiropractors for that.
We're essential. We're essential. And during the pandemic, we were essential workers.
Absolutely. So. And speaking of that, man, I felt like as bad as the pandemic was, it taught me a lot about myself. I didn't realize the value that I had before the pandemic. Doing telehealth calls, I was able to help address a lot of different, even just ergonomic issues with people's at-home work situation.
And they were there, like, in front of their computers. Postures got worse.
Right.
During the pandemic, you probably saw a decent amount of people because of all their ergonomic issues.
Exactly. But before we even went, those first, like, 2 weeks when everybody was, like, terrified to even, like, touch someone, even, you know. That was when we were doing telehealth. And then those 2 weeks, I distinctly remember like 3 or 4 people like getting back to me. And they're like, oh, my God, like I'm doing so much better. Like, this is amazing. And to me, I was like, whoa, I didn't even touch this person.
Right.
Like, and they're doing all right. And that was what I felt like even gave me more value that I didn't even know I had. I didn't even know I had acquired that knowledge because chiropractic is such a hands-on profession that I didn't realize that value of just having knowledge of ergonomics. So as bad as the pandemic was, there was some good things that kind of came out about it. And
also to mention, we're talking about the pandemic. Mm-hmm. What does a chiropractic adjustment do to the nervous system to enhance your immunity?
Yes.
Tons of things.
Dude, not only that, I found that if people are regularly getting adjusted and taking care of their bodies, kind of how we were going back to the older people coming in being cranky, these people, imagine if everybody in the world woke up feeling pain-free. What kind of world would we live in where your neighbor actually wants to look at you and say, hi, have a great day, instead of just down at the ground like, oh, man, I got the worst headache today. I do not feel like talking to that guy. And I get it. Everybody's been there, right? Everybody's had these pains, and it's hard to be a nice, good, decent human being when you're in pain. And that's why I think, again, chiropractors are so essential and special for the community, is I feel like we get everybody a little bit closer. You get to feel better in your body. Totally. Therefore, you're going to be looking out for your neighbor a little bit more. Like, oh, well, I feel good today. Jerry's not doing so good. Maybe I should go check on Jerry today, you know? And I think that's a really powerful thing that not every profession actually gets to be a part of. And they have their own way, things like that. But to really truly get to someone having a high quality of life and being able to pass that high quality of life on to other people, I mean, it's amazing, man. It really is.
In a podcast before, we were talking about how a chiropractic adjustment gets you feeling good, so you kind of get out of your head and you're able to influence your community, and everything outside of that too. So it's such a beautiful thing, man.
The ripple effect.
We're building healthier and happier communities through something that we're very humble about. Chiropractors are super humble.
They are too humble, probably.
We don't know our powers initially until we know our powers after some years of practicing.
Yeah, I always flash back anytime I'll like watch like a superhero movie. I'm like, whoa, like, okay. So there is a moment of time when you realize like, oh, I am powerful. And I think that's really important for chiropractors to understand too, because that power, you have just the same power to hurt someone as you do to help someone. And so realizing and understanding that power, I feel like is how you're able to help more people as well, not just be on that kind of, like I said, like a superhero. Like if they haven't understood their powers yet, like
they can misuse it.
They can misuse it.
Exactly. Or underuse it.
Exactly. And so I think every chiropractor, young, old, if they're just brand new, if they've been doing this for 40 years, should always keep that open mind, humbleness, but also understanding their true power and not letting anyone take that away from them, because you do have to have thick skin to be a chiropractor. We've been dealing with people discrediting chiropractic for years, only for any time they go to do some type of experiment to discredit mm-hmm. it, further prove it. I mm-hmm. remember learning this doctor, I forget who it was, he wanted to disprove chiropractic so bad that he took, I think, like, I don't even remember the number, a certain amount of animal cadavers, and he wanted to go back to the nerve root, and he wanted to trace to that nerve root, to that organ, and say, there's no way that an impingement on that nerve going to that organ could cause failure in the death of that animal. Like, that was his theory. He mm-hmm. didn't think that there was a relation. Every single cadaver that he went through and saw organ failure in had a dysfunction at that nerve root level. Exactly. Yeah. So he was trying to disprove it, and all he did was he built the case better. He showed, the nerve does go to that organ, so if that is malfunctioning, that leads to a malfunctioning organ and eventually failure. And yeah. So I think that was really powerful to be seen in the medical community, and now what we're starting to see now is a lot more medical providers recognizing what chiropractors can do. And I think it's beautiful being able to work alongside a medical provider, because they do have insight on things that I'm not necessarily going to have. I'm for not sure. going to have the scope in. And I do see a time and place for it. So I get really excited working alongside a lot of different providers and being a team player mm-hmm. when it comes to getting someone better, you know?
Yeah, everyone's got their own expertise for sure. We're going to align the spine, get the pressure off the nervous system. The PT is going to work on muscles yeah. and stretching you and allow that mobility to come back. In my opinion, it's more secondary to us getting first you get the body aligned, yep. then you do some PT.
Yep.
Otherwise, it's kind of backwards.
I agree. So one of my analogies I like to use for people is, especially living here in Atlanta, how many potholes we hit. Oh, you know?
Every street?
The metal plates, you know.
City owes us a lot of money for my tires.
Right? So if you look at your body the same way as a car, you can get the tires changed out, you can get them rotated, mm-hmm. all of that. But if you didn't do the tire alignment, mm-hmm. what happens?
You're going to veer off still. Exactly. You got to hold that steering wheel a different direction exactly. to go straight.
Exactly. Doesn't matter that you got new tires. Doesn't matter that you got them rotated.
So the word of that, it's compensationary.
Yeah.
We're using other parts of the body to help.
Exactly.
You kind of help you move forward.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the body's always going to choose quantity over quality, right?
Yeah.
It's going to get you. It's going to get you somewhere. Might not be pretty how it gets you there.
Yep.
But it's going to get you there.
Yeah.
And so that analogy, it makes sense even in the realm of going to the massage therapist. I'll see people, I've gotten 10 massages. Yeah. None of them did anything.
Right.
Now I say, all right, I'm going to adjust you. I want you to make that appointment with that same massage therapist. Go back this time and see what happens. And they go, I'm like, oh my God, that was the best massage ever.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, because you were only getting new tires. You never got your tires aligned.
100%.
And now they got the new tires and the alignment. Now you just got to watch out for life's potholes.
Yeah.
And guess what? They pop up out of nowhere all the time. Yep. And that's why regular maintenance visits to a chiropractor is so essential, just like service in the car.
Yeah, yeah. I've been working out a good bit these days.
Nice.
And
see the gains?
Yeah. Thank you, man. And last year when I started this journey on a regular basis, I was hurting a lot. Like my shoulder would, if I was ripping a little bit, mm-hmm. If I was doing like push-ups or anything mm-hmm. like that, mm-hmm. my shoulder would give out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it took a little while to get there. I'm mm-hmm. getting adjusted every week, by the way.
Yes.
And I'm getting muscular work being done.
Yes.
And just taking care of myself. Yes. It doesn't hurt at all.
I love that.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah, man.
And I think that's important for every chiropractor to understand as well. You gotta practice what you preach.
You
gotta get yourself in there getting taken care of, because if not, you're gonna start coming in the office falling apart and then be like, Doc, what the heck going on?
You are not a great representation of what you're trying to do.
Exactly. So I think it is important, for as much as we preach it, we got to be able to practice it too. And so, yeah, I'm fortunate to have a good team to help me out. And I'm still searching for people to add into that team, man, with having the little one running around now.
Yeah, you're busy.
Yeah, busy. So it's just... Yeah, finding that good team to help me keep going and living my best life, I think that's really important.
Stay adjusted, get some stretching in,
yep,
and eat properly.
Absolutely.
There's a ton of bad food out there that can cause inflammationary symptoms inside, and you won't even know what's happening until it's a little bit too late.
No.
Your body will tell you. So nutrition is super, super important, and it doesn't get enough credit.
Never. Yeah, and I mean, I think it's intentional. I mean... I don't know how far you want to go on with the podcast, but I think that there is that kind of propulsion of supplying this bad stuff out so that you do have to go find the cure for it. And what I think happens is the people that are in the food industry aren't paying attention to the health industry, and the people that are in the health industry aren't paying attention to the people in the food industry.
It's all about money for the most part.
And it doesn't make sense to me, though, because the way I see it, if it was truly about making your biggest dollar, it wouldn't be in sick care.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how you're going to make money off of people that are so sick they can't work for money, that are so sick that are on their deathbed.
Mm-hmm.
How are you making money off of that person? That's what I have a hard time trying to understand, that concept of, like, if it was truly about money, they would be pouring every single dollar they can into keeping every single human being alive and healthy for as long as possible. Because guess what? If you're 90 years old and still going to the mall and buying an iPad.
Exactly. Larger picture here.
I'm just saying, like, that's a bigger demographic. Instead, what we're seeing now, we're starting to see a new pandemic coming with people aging and not having a place to go. There's so many homes now, elderly people homes, that don't have adequate care or just non-existent. And to be quite frank, I'm a little nervous for the future with that, in regards. We don't have enough workers, we don't have enough places, and we have people that are aging way faster now than what they were before. And now what's cool is we do have a longer lifespan. But
the quality of life.
Quality of life isn't coming with it.
Quality versus quantity, right?
I'm down to live to 120 if I'm still able to take care of myself, right? Yep. And I think most people are. Mm-hmm. And I think that the problem is what we're seeing with the older generation now is a lot of those people were told 65, 70 years of age. Like, that's your lifespan. So that's what you got to look forward to. That's what you got to prepare for, right? Well, a lot of these 65 or 70-year-olds are like 80, 90, pushing 100 now.
Yeah.
That's 20, 30 years that they never really accounted for. No one told them to prepare for. And so I feel like, as my job as a chiropractor now, is to inform people, like, hey, you're probably going to see 100 whether you want to or not.
Yeah.
Just so you know. And that way people can just start preparing. That way they're not like, oh, okay, I'll just prepare for 60. If I can make it to 60, cool. Like, dude, if you live to 100, that's 40 more years.
Such a big, so 40% more than what you thought.
Exactly.
Or actually larger. That's like, what, 50% or something like that.
Literally. It's a lot. It's a big percentage of your life that you didn't account for, right? You're counting for 20. You're counting for 30. You're counting for 40. But if you're not thinking about that 60-year-old self, you're not thinking about that 80-year-old self, I think you're doing yourself a little bit of a disservice for your life, because you have to be prepared for that.
Yeah.
A lot more people are just making it to that. And to me, again, that's where chiropractic care comes in. If you're actually wanting to live a good, high quality of life, I think taking the most minimum drugs contributes to that. Because what I've always seen is the person taking the most pills.
Sickest. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So if it was truly the health in the bottle, the person taking the most would be the healthiest, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't see that. We see the people with no medications. Oh, man, you have such a good health. No medications? Yeah, because you did what? Oh, I took care of myself. I ate right. I exercised. And that's what we're starting to hear now from these 70, 80, 90-year-old people that are making it and still have a high quality of life.
Yeah.
I remember I ran a 5K, and there was an 80-year-old, and he was awesome. Not too far behind me, man.
Wow.
Like, I had to pick it up, and I was like, all right, this guy's about to pass me, man. I gotta do something. And I remember this is when I was working for the chiropractor, and so I was already intrigued into all that kind of healthy lifestyle. And I asked him, I said, what did you do to keep yourself so healthy? He's like, well, you know, I've been a runner my whole life, and I feel like being in that lifestyle helps contribute to me making the right choices so that I can continue doing what I love.
Oh. He has a purpose.
Yeah. I was like, man, that needs to be on a billboard in like every single city, every single state. Like, and I can't wait till the day that more healthy individuals are celebrated.
Yeah.
I really can't wait until we're like, look at this 100-year-old person, how well they preserve themselves, how well they, instead of these people that are making $80 billion a year. Okay, cool. You know, like, let's celebrate these people that have put in the hard work and shown the true measurement of life and a true measurement of quality of life, right?
Because yeah.
You can be $80 billion, but I'd be guaranteed you'd give it all away.
For that health, baby. Yeah. Health exactly. Over wealth. Health will get you wealth if you want it, but that's the first thing you need.
Exactly.
That's the only thing you need in order to carry on.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what I want to see just changed in a lot of places, man, is just a lot of people putting health first in businesses and schools and the government across the board, to seeing where, all right, we're actually going to put health over profits.
Yeah.
And I think once we start to see that, we're going to see a big change.
You know what I think that might happen?
When?
When we are controlling the world. And what I mean by we is the our generation.
Yeah.
When we have the leaders in place that can make those decisions, that will make the right decisions, I hope, right. Because we understand a lot of things differently than baby boomers did and a generation prior to us, because right. We're so much more in tune
right.
with our own bodies
right.
and how our emotions are and how we feel, not both physically and mentally, that and mental health is a huge thing now. So we're talking about things we've never talked about before.
Yep.
And
absolutely.
We're getting there.
Yeah. We are. And that's what's so good to see. And I do think social media has helped in that.
Yeah.
Having people be able to go on there and having their own point of view and somebody else relating to that point of view, and not just this watered down, washed down version of whatever story that a news outlet wants to put out. We're getting like first point of view stories from people now. And I think that's huge. And I'm really looking forward to seeing more positive things continuing to come out of social media more than the negative, because
it's evolving.
It is. We see both sides, you know, and that's what I'm looking forward to is all of that really changing. And like you said, it's happening.
It's
slowly, but it's happening.
It's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming. But yeah, I really think when our generation is in the in power of the government or in these big corporations, that the right decisions will be made, just because we've been exposed and you learned so much from your dad. I've learned so much from my grandfather's situation.
Yeah.
We all have learned that the pill works not really. And it's not something long-term. This is long-term.
Exactly.
Taking the pressure off, really unkinking the hose of the nervous system and allowing that to flow properly.
Absolutely.
And that's longevity, man.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I mean, that's what I think about all the time, is that me jamming up my neck with that fall and that getting undone with the adjustment, that literally just freed everything up. I actually still remember my first adjustment. I do. I remember coming off the table and breathing. I was like, is it normal to breathe that much?
That deep?
Like, oh yeah, I felt like breathe that deep before.
Right.
So I just remember like that first adjustment, just like, oh man, I can actually like get a good breath in. And
as simple as that is, right? How much impact is that to your nervous system? I mean, to your body, not just your nervous system. You're getting oxygen, fresh oxygen into your body, getting carbon dioxide out.
Yeah.
It's simple, but so effective.
And now think about all the people that have never had the chance to experience a chiropractic adjustment and live in this turtle shell world where their ribs are stuck and not expanding, not breathing, not feeding that brain the proper oxygen, not feeding the organs proper oxygen. I'm so thankful that I was able to get introduced to it at an early age. And I'm so thankful that chiropractic is available for any age. Like, I'm glad it doesn't just like, oh yeah, you're 35, your back's falling apart, okay, you can start now. Like, no, it can start literally when you're born. I got my son adjusted. I think he was 2 weeks old when his first adjustment happened.
2 weeks old.
2 weeks old. Yeah. He was just having a little trouble. I forget what side it was. He was having a little trouble latching to one side. Okay. And I think when the birthing process happened, it kind of just kinked Atlas C1, C2, mm-hmm. maybe out a little bit. And it's really cool seeing the babies get adjusted. You know, they like use their pinkies. It's like a sustained kind of contact. Yeah. It's not these like whip adjustments that you see with adults. It's this really gentle care. And mm-hmm. it was so cool to see that happen and literally him just like light up and having that motion, that head turn back in and being able to latch properly to both sides. That not only helped baby, it also helped mom too. And that was really, I think, powerful to see. I think his second adjustment, he was about 2 or 3 months old. He had gotten sick for the first time.
Okay.
And he was doing really good. He had gotten most of it out, but I was like, I just want to make sure he's attuned all the way proper. And so I think that was the second time we had taken him. And then I think we have like a third one lined up for him soon. So
he's a lucky boy having you as a dad.
Man, I
adjust him whenever he has an issue.
Exactly. I just think it's so cool to see that and having him no interference. It's like, all right, this is how a kid gets to develop with no issues. Like, this is what it's supposed to look like.
That's how it looked like for centuries.
No,
right?
To me, it makes a lot more sense to grow a healthy child than to fix a broken adult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and mm-hmm. that's where I think that chiropractic can start to come in and actually teaching people, like, hey, this is how you grow the healthy child.
Thank you so much for stopping in, man. It was an awesome, awesome conversation. I can't wait to have you back in here and we can talk about more topics.
I really appreciate you having me in here. This was a blast. I have a big passion for a lot of this stuff, so I'll be looking forward to having me in the future and being able to talk about all this and keep everybody informed and educated as much as possible, man.
My man. I love it.
Yeah, y'all be sure to stop by the new Upper West Side office. I'm the new main doc there. Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, 9 to 6. Call the office. You can make an appointment with me, Dr. Sean. And then I'm actually in the downtown Eastside Madison Yards location Tuesdays, Thursdays, every Saturday. So give us a holler. We'd love to have you come in and get us checked out.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much.
Dude, thank you. This was so cool.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of the Easewell Podcast. I'm Dr. Mayor Kara. Stay tuned for our next episodes where we will be cultivating true health. Take care.
Say, we got a lot to say. So sick to have. You're joining. Yay. Yay.